series. This morning, we're going to specifically talk about parents' priority. Parents' priority, and you're going to love this. So if you have your Bibles, hold them up with me this morning and say this with me. Say, this is my Bible. Come on, I can't hear you. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It is the Word of God.
It is the Word of God.
And I believe it.
I
am what it says I am.
I have what it says I have.
And I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. And I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many of you have found out parenting can be kind of difficult at times?
Yeah.
Parenting can be kind of challenging at times. Parenting has a lot of joy, but parenting can also have a lot of pain. Can have a lot of pain.
It's true.
Here is a parent's priority. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. And I'm just going to just throw this out there because this is where it's all at. A parent's priority is to gradually transfer a child's dependence away from them until their dependence rests solely on God.
That's so good.
Did you hear that? Let me say it again. You can say it with me if you want. I'm just going to say it right from here. A parent's priority is to gradually transfer a child's dependence away from them until their dependence rests solely on God. So you guys, our priority as a father, our priority as a mother, is to gradually transfer. Everyone say transfer. You need to transfer the dependence that your child has on you away from you and onto God.
Woo. Yes.
Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
See, our children are a little bit dependent on us in the very beginning stages of their life.
Yep.
Can you say amen to that? You know, they're very dependent. As they get older, they become a little less dependent. And then as they become in their teens, they become more less dependent. And hopefully when they're 18, they aren't dependent on you for much of anything. Okay? But over time, you know, we have got to transfer their dependence off of us. And we got to transfer that onto God. And we got to teach them to be dependent on God. And a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people don't focus on transferring that dependence on God. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses gives us really one of the greatest teachings on parenthood, I believe, in all of Scripture. It's absolutely amazing. And he says here in Deuteronomy 6, he says, these are the commandments, the decrees, the laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you. And then listen to what he says. So that you, everyone say me.
Me.
So that you, and who else? So that your
children.
So that you and your children, but he doesn't stop there, and your children's children.
And after them.
So that you, your children, your children, your grandchildren.
And even the next generation. Wow.
May worship and honor and live in deep reverence to the Lord your God, as long as you live.
That's awesome.
See, as you teach your children to worship and honor the Lord, as you teach your children to live according to his commandments, not only will you be changed as a parent, but you guys, you've got to really get this. Because the information that we're giving you this morning, people will literally pay hundreds of dollars
That's true.
To go to a counselor
right.
to help them with their kids,
right.
and they won't get half of this good stuff.
Right here today.
And so this is going to really help you. But church, when you teach your children to worship and honor the Lord, and you teach them to live according to His commands, not only are you going to be changed, but they're going to be changed, and the next generation will be changed.
Yes.
So church, it goes from generation to generation to generation.
Yeah.
We've all heard about generational curses. Well, what about generational blessings?
Come on. Let's take it.
I believe in generational blessings.
Come on. Let's walk in.
So if we as parents train our children and shift their dependence on God and off of us,
right.
on God and off of themselves, I'm telling you, it will literally change your life, your kids' life, and your grandkids' life.
Yes. Wow.
It's amazing.
That's how powerful it is.
So in Deuteronomy chapter 6 here, we're going to give you two of the most important principles that I believe we could ever live out as parents.
Yeah.
Two of the most important principles. If you could start living out these two important principles, I'm telling you, it will transform your family.
Yes, it will.
It will transform your family. It really will.
Amen.
So grab a hold of this. Pastor Vicky's going to start with number one. These two important principles right here in Deuteronomy chapter 6.
So good. You ready? So he already read those first few verses in chapter 6. Now look at the next verses in 4 and 5. Listen to what it says. It says, "Hear, O Israel." So Israel in the Old Testament represents God's people, or in this case, it would represent us, the church. So he's like saying, listen up, church. The Lord, our God, the Lord is one. I love that. I could preach off that right there. I think that's so cool, because he's saying, the Lord, our God. Because we live in a society where it's like, we got to be respectful of all these gods. No, there's one God, the Lord, our God. Woo, my God. Our God is one. I love that. He's like, the Lord is one. Okay, now look at what he says. You shall love the Lord your God with what?
All.
There it is. That little word is so important. All your heart.
Yeah.
All
your
soul. And
all
your
strength.
I'd say that's kind of loving God a lot.
Yeah.
Right? That's a lot of alls.
Yeah.
Right
I wonder
there.
What all means.
You know what all means? It means all.
Yeah.
All. It means everything. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute, because I'm going to be preaching, and I know this isn't going to be like a woo, amen kind of message. It's sometimes going to be an ouch kind of message, but that's okay. So today, if there's a little bit where you just feel that little tugging or that little stirring, just receive it. If it's going to challenge you to change something, that's going to help
you. Amen. But let me also say something. Somebody came up to me after service, and they said, you know, Pastor, I love that message. It was amazing. And there are some things I can adjust, but you know what it also did? It also showed me I'm doing a lot of things right.
Cool.
And that's the truth, too.
That's
so
cool.
So it's not always about bringing correction,
right.
but it's also showing you, keep on doing what
Amen.
You're doing, because it's right.
Amen.
It's
Praise
right.
God. So today, we're going to focus on this first point in parenting and leading our kids. Here it is, number one, we need to love our God. That's where it all starts. In fact, I believe you'll never be an effective parent, but be effective at leading your family, be effective at anything. Woo, there goes a little piece of confetti right there.
Yeah.
You'll never.
A piece of like that falls down every week. I love you know, it's like
a
party.
Just means the anointing is here.
Every week.
So we're never going to be able to really lead effectively without this first step in place right here. We're loving our God. Not just a little bit, not just some, not just a piece, not just a part, not just one day a week, but we're going to love Him with
all
of our heart. So what does that really mean? Because I think all of us would agree that is our desire. Most of us that are in church, I mean, you're in church, that represents that you love God. So I think all of us would say, man, I love God, but what does it really mean to love Him with all your heart? I want you to hear me on this. One of the most dangerous things we can do as parents is to expose our children to just a little bit of God. I want you to think about that for a minute. So many families today, you know, I want to get my kids to church on Sundays or confirmation or whatever this is, just so they can learn a little bit of Bible. But listen to this.
Yeah.
A little bit is not what they need. If you go to the doctor and you get a vaccine, like if you're into the flu shots or measles vaccine or whatever it is, you know what they do? Do you know what they're actually putting in you? They're actually exposing your body to just a little bit of the real thing. You know why? So when the real thing comes along, it won't affect you. Yeah, that's what I say. Wow. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
If you are exposing your kids to just a little bit of God, you're actually putting a little bit into them so that when the real thing comes along, it's not even going to affect them.
Yeah.
It's not even going to impact them.
There's a lot in that right there.
There is. So just a little bit of God is not what our kids need today. They need the whole counsel of God. They need the whole glory of God. They need the whole word of God. They need a whole genuine encounter and relationship with the only one that they can really depend on.
Yeah.
Again, it gets back to that transferring of dependence, because you know what? If we don't teach them to depend solely on God, they will depend on their spouse. They'll depend on a boyfriend or a girlfriend or other people, and they're going to get disappointed. But if we say your dependence now has got to transfer off of us onto God, there's going to be life in that. So let's talk about this for a minute, loving God with all of our heart, because I think we could all admit, all of us here, in today's world, there's a lot of things that can distract us from loving God with all our heart. Can we just all agree to that?
Yeah.
So like it's no finger pointing, no, yeah, those guys, they got their kids and everything. No, it's all of us can admit that there are a lot of things today that can distract us from loving God with all our heart. Because we want our kids to have the best of the opportunities that are out there, right? So we get them in gymnastics, and we get them in karate, and we get them in soccer, we get them in cheerleading, we get them in hockey. None of that is bad. In fact, I think it's healthy to keep things involved in good things like that, right?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. We want our kids to be involved in all the good stuff. We want our kids to have all the best stuff. In fact, how many of you parents, if you're really honest, you'd want your kids to have all the stuff that you never got when you were a kid? Come on. Mm-hmm. Like, I know Tara, she always wanted a power wheel. And when we first started pastoring, we had like 12 people in the church, and power wheel wasn't in the budget. And so it was just so funny, because one of the first things Summer got was a power wheel for, I think, her third or fourth birthday. I don't remember. But anyway, if we're all honest, we can all say, you think of things that you didn't get to do. I remember as a little kid, I never got to go to Disney World. So when we had kids, it was like we were going to get them to Disney World. So here we are as parents with good intentions. We want to be involved in good stuff.
Yeah.
We want them to have all the fun stuff, even fun stuff that we didn't have. So now we're working hard so we can get them that stuff. And now we're working harder. We're working longer. We're working later. And the kids are there, and we're running here, and we're picking up kids here, and we're dropping off kids there. And we're going all over. And, church, if we're not careful, we can get so busy giving our kids everything except what they really need. So let that sink in for a little bit. If we're not careful, so I'm not saying this is what you're doing, you're too busy. No, I'm saying if we're not careful,
we can get
so busy giving our kids everything except what they really need.
Really need.
And that's a deep, genuine relationship with the only one who will never disappoint them, the only one that really matters, because the only one that can really give them peace is Christ and Christ alone. Amen?
Yeah.
So, if we're not careful, what can happen is we actually can almost become a family that instead of being God-centered, we're kind of child-centered, because everything revolves around our kids. And again, that's not a bad thing. I think it's important to put your kids first, but if they're first above what really matters, worshiping God, loving God, serving God, teaching them about God, come on. You guys, if that gets pushed to the bottom of the list because we're so busy, there's something that is off. That is not what it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart.
Our heart.
We've got to be careful that we're not child-centered parents, but that we remain God-centered parents. So loving the Lord our God with all our heart, that's what we're talking about here. Again, I know that most people would say, man, I want to do that. I want to love God with all my heart. I really want to honor Him. I want my children to walk in the things of God. I want my children to grow up in the things of God. But when it comes to having time for church, we don't see that. When it comes to getting in the church and serving the church and giving to the church and participating in the church, suddenly, our lives are too busy. Yeah, youth group, we could preach on that right there. Because think of it for a minute. The most important relationships your kids can develop are with other godly kids who love God with all of their heart. That's not going to happen at school, most likely. Sometimes if they're in a Christian school, that can happen. That's not going to happen at sports. Where this is going to happen is in a good youth group.
Yeah.
But again, it gets back to if we're too busy that we can't get our kids to youth group. I know this is an ouchy message. I'm not expecting all of you to be like, woo, amen, hallelujah, because I know you're all like a little bit is sinking in. You're like, ooh, yeah, ouch, I need to get better at that. So parents, here's the thing. Don't kid yourself.
Right.
If you are too busy with all this other stuff and you're too busy to worship with God's people and to get involved with God's people and to get your kids to church, you are sending a message to your children. You are sending a message to your kids. And they're seeing that, because here's the key. Loving God with all your heart is going to require more than just your words. It's going to require your actions. I'm talking about loving God with all of our heart, not just some.
That's good.
So all your heart is not coming in late, sitting in the back, and being the first out the door. All of your heart is not getting in church when it's convenient and when there's nothing else going on.
Right.
No, all of your heart is going to require all of your participation. In fact, the Bible says where your treasure is reveals where your heart is.
Yeah.
Do you know what treasure is? It's your time and your money. That's your treasure. So show me where you're spending most your time. That's where your heart is. Yeah. Show me where you're spending most your money. That's where your heart is. That's why you could tell me all day long you love this church, but if your money's not here, I don't believe a word you're saying. Because I know what the Bible says. If your heart's somewhere, your money's going to be there. Amen? So, all of our heart.
Oh, that's really good. That's quite plain, and I love it.
I know. I just kind of got that
Hallelujah.
In there.
Hallelujah.
Okay. All of your heart is going to require participation. The Bible says that where your treasure is, your heart is. So, here's where we need to stand, church. It's like we need to get bold. Do you know the Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion? I love that. It's like we need to get bold and say, I'm going to take a stand. I'm taking a stand as the head of this house. That's what you men need to say. You say, we're going to be here. We are going to be in church. And we're going to be here as a family.
Yeah.
Not just me, not just my wife. No, we're going to be here together. And we are going to be an active participator, not just a spectator. Why? Because we are a contributing part of the family of God because we love Him with all of our heart.
Amen.
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 So how important is this? I was shocked when I saw this survey.
We did this. Yeah. There was a survey that we found. And let me give you the, I know it's on your notes, but let me show you the percentages here and show you how important you are in your children's relationship.
Right.
If mom and dad both attend church, 72% of the kids, when they become adults,
will attend
church.
That's a lot.
72%. When mom and dad both attend church. Now, if only mom goes to church and dad stays home.
Look at that.
The percentage drops to 15%.
Wow.
15% of the children, of the youth, of
That's
the adults as they grow up will attend church. Now, dads, let me show you how important your role is. If dad is the only one who goes to church and the mom stays home, it's back up to 55%.
Look at the importance of the male leadership.
55%.
Wow.
Hey, dads, let me just encourage you to never underestimate your role as a dad.
Leading your home,
Never underestimate.
Right.
Now, if neither mom nor dad go to church, the number drops down to 6%.
Yeah, less than
6%. Of the kids will grow up and follow Christ and be active in church. 6%. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Right. With all your heart.
Right.
I love that.
Amen.
I love that.
Good first point.
You know, not only in our words, but our actions are so important. You know, the Holy Spirit's been for a while now convicting me, and so has my wife, Vicky. Have you ever noticed how the Holy Spirit and your wife can sometimes, you know, and so I've been convicted at times about my language. Now, it's not that I have bad cussing words, so don't worry, like, oh, Pastor swears a lot. No, I'm saying stuff like, I'll say stuff like, that pisses me off, or, you know, that really sucks. And I've been getting convicted of that because, you know, it's one thing when I say it. It's another thing when you hear your 3 or 4 year old saying it.
Come on.
And it's like, I gotta stop that.
Right.
Are you hearing me?
Come on.
I said, are you hearing me?
Come on. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And so we gotta change some of that stuff. So church, when the Holy Spirit's moving on you and convicting you of some of the things you might say, you gotta listen to that stuff.
Yes.
And so don't push it aside, but listen. So love God. Number two, write this down. We need to lead our families. Lead your family.
Come on.
Lead your family.
Love God. Lead your family. That's so good.
In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 6, listen to this. These commandments I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. We impress them. Everyone say impress. We impress them on our children.
Yeah.
That means that we talk about them.
Yeah.
Okay? We impress them. We talk about them when we sit at home, when we're around the dinner table, different stuff like that. When we walk along the road.
Yeah,
or you could say when I'm driving down the highway, when I'm driving to my sporting event, when I'm driving to that football game, or whatever it might be. When you lie down and when you get up, tie them as a symbol to your hands. And listen to this, bind them on your foreheads and write them on the door frames of your houses.
Right.
You know, a lot of us might not write them on the door frames of our houses, but you can write them and pin them up on your mirror, on your refrigerator, or you know, on your cupboard, wherever it is that you go.
It's like a green light for tattoos. Get that scripture right on your forehead. There you go.
And so it says, and so it says, you know, that we're supposed to lead our families. And so how do we do that? The first way is write this down. We lead our families spiritually. We lead our families spiritually. You guys, when you're leading your family spiritually, you're not talking spiritual talk just when you're on your way to church.
Right.
When you are leading your family spiritually, you're not talking spiritual talk just on the weekends. But church, when you're leading your family spiritually, it becomes a part of you 7 days a week.
Yes.
7 days a week. Everything you say, everything you do revolves around the things of God.
Love it.
And church, I'm not taking this to the extreme like all you got to do and should do is talk about the things of God.
Right.
There are a lot of things that we talk about to our kids about, our grandkids about, has nothing to do with God.
Right.
But you know what? Some of you never talk about God.
Right. Come on.
Never. You know, there was a quote by Edward Duke of Windsor, who I know you probably don't know. But he said this about America.
Yeah.
Edward Duke of Windsor said this about America, and it's a classic quote. And listen to what he said. He said, "The thing that impresses me most about America is the way the parents obey their children."
Oh boy. Ouch. Ouch.
Think about that for just a minute.
Come on.
The thing that impresses me the most about America is the way the parents obey the children. My question for you, parents, is, are you leading your children, or are your children leading you? Are you leading your children, or are your children leading you? Think about that for just a minute. Are you leading them spiritually? Are you setting the tone in your house? Are you setting the guidelines in your house? Are you the God-ordained authority in your household? Or is your children the God-ordained authority in your household? Are you setting the tone? Are you paving the way? Are you living by the example? Are you spiritually leading your family? Can somebody say amen?
Amen. Amen.
There's three other ways that we lead our family.
So husbands, let's lead your family spiritually. Another way, parents, is we need to lead intentionally. In other words, if you want something to happen, it's got to be done on purpose.
Yeah.
It doesn't just happen accidentally. Good things do not just happen accidentally. Good families, good children, solid marriages do not just happen on accident. It's on purpose.
Yeah.
So that means when you're leading intentionally, things aren't just going to happen and you're wondering what happened. No, when you lead intentionally, you make it happen. You make what you have as a goal happen because you're leading intentionally.
Amen.
So it means you're going to lead with purpose. Here's a thing that it also means. You value family time and you value family identity. This is so important today, and something that I think is really lacking is family identity. That means teaching your kids so that they will know who you are and what you stand for. Your kids will know. They have this sense of family identity. So that when your kids get around something that is not one of your values, they see that and they say, you know, that's just not who we are.
Right.
That's not what we do.
Right.
Those are not the kind of movies we see. That's not the kind of language we use. That's not the kind of books we read. So that's not the kind of stuff we do. Why? Because you've instilled in them family identity. They know who they are as a family. When family identity is strong, peer pressure will be weak. When family identity is weak, peer pressure will be strong. So we need to intentionally build family time, family fun, and family values.
Amen. Number three, write this down. The third way that we lead our family is relationally.
Yes.
Everyone say relationally. Let me encourage you as parents, let your kids see you love each other.
Yeah, love on each other, come on.
Come on, let them see how much you love each other.
It's okay to be.
Let them see you smooch.
A little bit of physical touch.
Let them see you kiss.
Come on.
Let them see you hugging one another.
Yeah.
Let your kids see you kissing your wife's neck. Now, I get it, because when I would do that with Pastor Vicky, I mean, Tara or Tyler, they'd walk into the room and they'd be all embarrassed, but they would see it.
Yeah, and they love it.
And church, let your kids see that.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah.
You know, let your kids see that you're going on a date.
Yeah.
Dates are important.
Uh-huh.
Let your kids see that you know, this is a big deal. I value marriage. I value your mother. I love your mother. And I'm going on a date with your mother.
Yes. Yeah.
Can anyone understand what I'm saying?
Come on.
Is anybody here this morning?
We're here. We're with you.
You know, I want them to see that I value their mom. I value marriage.
Yes.
I want them to know that they're not in charge. I'm in charge.
Yep.
And if I want to take their mom on a date, I can take their mom on a date because we are a God-centered family, right, not a child-centered family.
Wow, that's good. I love that.
Don't ever become a child-centered family.
Right.
You know, you might say, well, what's wrong with that? There's a lot of things wrong with that.
Right.
You've got to be a God-centered family.
Yep.
When you are a God-centered family, when you have a God-centered marriage, you're going to have a God-centered family. And when you have a God-centered family, you're going to raise kids that are God-centered and God-focused and God-dependent.
Love it.
It's so important.
Yes, it is.
And dads, let me just say something to you. Let your son see how a man is supposed to treat a woman.
Yes.
Come on, men.
Come on.
You need to show your sons how they are supposed to treat a woman.
Yep. Come on.
And let me take it one step further, dads. You need to take your daughters on a date. You need to take not only your wife on a date, but you need to take your daughters on a date.
Yeah. Individually, if you have more than one. Come on.
Adam's really good at this. Adam, I'll see on Facebook, Adam's taking Summer on a date. Now he started taking London on a date. She's 3 years old. But you know what? She knows what it means to go on a date with Daddy.
Yep. Get some flowers.
And I took my daughter on dates.
Yeah.
And I continue to take my daughter on dates. Just because she's married and has her own family now, I still value taking your daughter on a date.
We love it.
It's really important.
Yeah.
Do you know who took her shopping for her prom dresses?
Yeah.
Me.
Yes.
I went with her and we would go to four or five different department stores looking for just that perfect dress. And it was awesome.
Yep. Yeah, and he let her pick it out. It wasn't like getting something up to the neck that zipped all the way down.
No, I let her pick it out because you know what? She always came out and said, "Do you think how's this look?"
Yeah.
And she valued my opinion.
So cool.
And it's really cool. And so guys, take your daughters on dates because you gotta show them, you know, how a lady is really supposed to be treated. So that when that long, hairy, legged guy comes along in her life, she knows how to identify.
Right.
And she goes, you know, does he have the character? Does he have the heart?
Yeah.
Does he have a heart to worship God?
Come
does
on.
He have a heart?
For God.
And if he doesn't have the heart for God, it's easy to walk away from that relationship. But you've got to set the example.
Yeah.
Can
so
somebody
good.
Say amen to that?
Amen.
So we need to lead relationally.
I love that.
And then one more.
You know, when your kids see parents that you have a happy marriage, because someone said this to me, hon, and it made me think. We had a guy that used to be in our executive board. His name was Steve Peters. Some of you know him. And he said, because both of our kids got married pretty young. I don't remember exactly how old they were. But he said, you know, when kids see a godly marriage in the home, and when they see that marriage is happy and fulfilled, that's what they want to do, and that's what they'll follow in. That's why we have so many people today that, man, they're just living together, because they didn't see a godly example, and they're afraid of marriage now. They didn't see that example set before them. So that leading relationally is so key and so important.
Lead relationally.
Here's one more thing. We need to lead by training. By training. The Bible talks about this in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. He will not turn away from it. I know this is a scripture that we've all heard, but I looked at that word train, because usually when we talk about training, we're either talking about toilet training or we're talking about puppy training. But really, he's talking here about training up our children. What does that really mean? The word train means to initiate or to dedicate. So I thought, look at those two words. And this is the definition I came up with. It says, that means we're going to initiate a dedication to that which is true.
Yeah.
So in our kids, we're going to initiate that dedication to the things of God, the things that are true, the kingdom of God. In other words, we're training them in such a way that they are going to be so dedicated to the truth that they're going to recognize when counterfeit comes along.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of thinking and a lot of teaching and a lot of culture out there today that is a far way from truth. This sounds good, but you know, just because something sounds good doesn't mean it's truth.
Yeah.
This looks good. And did you know that just because something looks loving doesn't mean it's truth? And so our kids need to discern that and recognize that. So I just want to instill in you here is that the last point that is we're transferring the dependence off of us. We're transferring it onto God. We're transferring their dependence onto God. That's so important because if they start to depend on other people or friends or a spouse, they're going to be disappointed. But if we've taught them that the real one that they can really only truly depend on is God,
right,
they're going to always be looking to him first. So we're going to train them up. So we're going to train them to have this dedication to what is true and lovely and pure and just, which is the word of God.
Yeah.
So we're going to train them up in the word. We're going to bring them up in the church. And we're going to lead by our example. And we're going to have strong, healthy, happy kids.
Amen. Let me quickly give you these last seven specific ways that we're supposed to train our children. There's just seven here, and they come out of Proverbs. And let me quickly give them to you. Here they are. Number one, we're supposed to train our children how to manage God's money.
Yeah, wow.
If you're wondering, in what ways am I supposed to train my children? Here they are. Train them how to manage God's money. Number two, train your children to carefully select their friends.
Yeah, so important.
You'll find all these in Proverbs.
Yeah.
Number three, another way that we're supposed to train our children is train them to watch their words.
Yeah.
Train your children to watch their words. Another way we train our kids is to be responsible. Responsibility is huge. Nobody wants to take responsibility these days. Train your kids to be responsible.
Yes, take responsibility.
Here's another one. Train your kids, this is a big one, to guard their minds. Train your kids to guard their minds. And two more. Train your kids to be generous.
Yes.
You can never go wrong with a generous heart.
Generous. Come on.
Generosity is never wrong.
Right.
I'd always rather be accused of being too generous than to be too stingy.
Right.
Always train your children to be generous.
Yes.
And last but not least, train your children to fear God.
Yeah.
And let me change that up because I don't really care for that word fear because a lot of people take that literal and they what that word fear literally means is to worship God, honor God, respect God.
Yes.
You don't have to be afraid of God. You know, you don't have to be afraid.
Right.
So that word fear, to fear God, You honor God, you respect God, you worship God, and you train your children how to do that.
Amen.
I hope this first lesson really helped you. I mean, honestly, I think you have enough really awesome notes here where you probably know somebody that you could call and say, can I just share a couple? I know you've been having a couple challenges with the kids. Let me just share a couple things that we learned today in service.
Invite him to come.
And invite him to come over the next couple of 2-3 weeks. Here's what we're gonna do. Next week, we're gonna look at Mark chapter 10. And we're going to identify some unchangeable principles that we need to instill and give to our kids. These are unchangeable No matter how society has changed and how things have changed in our world, these things never change. And this will really bless you. It'll be in out of Mark chapter 10. In the third week, we're going to talk about discipline, because a lot of people have questions about discipline. And we're going to identify and really hit on some amazing stuff when it comes to discipline. And then the last week, fourth week, and I don't know that it will go any longer than that. It could, but on the fourth week, we're going to talk about how to reach the prodigal child.
It's gonna be so good.
How to reach the prodigal child. Now, I pray to God, none of you have a prodigal child, but if you do have a prodigal child, let me encourage you. There's tremendous hope. And how do you reach that prodigal child?
Yeah.
You know? We're not perfect, but I think we've done a pretty darn good job raising our children, bringing our children up. We've got two kids that are amazing. And now we've got five grandkids that are even more amazing. And I take as much responsibility, and Pastor Vicki takes as much responsibility in bringing up these grandkids as I have bringing up my own kids. And I know I'm not the only one. I know, like, Carrie's parents here, Phil and Nancy are the same. Phil and Nancy are the same way. They take their responsibility as a grandparent seriously. And every one of you grandparents, the impact you have on your grandkids is amazing. It's amazing.
So fun.
Amen?
Amen.
It's amazing. So praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Listen, I want every one of you to just receive this prayer, because I'm just going to pray for you as parents, because either you are a parent or you have been a parent, or maybe you fall into the grandparent mode, or maybe you're here and you have no kids at all, but every one of you know somebody who is a parent or a grandparent, and you've got some information you can share. Father, I just pray that every single person under my voice this morning is really taking heed to this lesson on parents' priority. That we will love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our strength. Not just a little bit. And Lord, we'll take our responsibility and priority as a parent and lead our family. Lead them spiritually, lead them intentionally, lead them relationally, and that we will train up our children in the way they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. And Lord, I pray peace over every single parent. Let this word begin to perform a work in every one of them. And Lord, if they're doing everything right, let this just be a confirmation to their soul. And Lord, we give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Praise God. Amen.